Aloha everyone, my name is Blaine and I'd like to welcome you to New Hope Windward Online. We're so glad that you're joining us today. In a few moments, we'll jump into today's message. But before we do, we're going to worship God through our giving. Have you ever been on the receiving end of something that was above and beyond what you expected and felt totally blessed by it? Maybe someone in front of you paid for your coffee or meal order, or perhaps you received an unexpected present or monetary gift that left you speechless. Once when my car broke down, I knew getting it fixed at a repair shop would have cost me bucks, but a volunteer at church offered to do the repairs for me absolutely free. I can't tell you how blessed and grateful I felt. Whenever we receive in a way that is above and beyond, we can't help but feel incredibly blessed. Now we serve an above and beyond God. Amen. In fact, throughout the Bible, whenever God blessed or rewarded someone, he never approached it half-heartedly. God always went above and beyond to bring physical healing, provide for a tangible need, or meet a distressing request, all with the goal of inspiring greater faith in him as a faithful provider. God's greatest desire for us is that we would live by complete faith in him. That pleases him. And in doing so, he promises to bless and reward us above and beyond. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." As we give today, let's give with a heart of faith, trusting that God will meet our every need above and beyond. When we do that, the Bible says that God will throw open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing on us that there won't be enough room to contain it. We truly do serve an above and beyond God. At the bottom of your screen, you'll see three easy, safe, and secure ways to donate. By clicking the Give tab on our website, you can give a one-time gift or you can have it recurring. Another way to give is by texting the word donation to the number on your screen and follow the instructions. Or if you prefer to mail in your gift, you can send it to the address below. Would you bow your heads with me as I lead us in prayer? Father in heaven, thank you for being such a generous and faithful God who goes above and beyond for those who choose to live by faith in you. Would you take what we give in faith today and use it in a way that many who are hurting and struggling in this season will be reached, touched, and transformed by your love and power. We choose to be kingdom partners with you through our giving, with confidence knowing that in turn you will meet and provide for every need above and beyond. We love, honor, and worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're joining us for the very first time, I want to welcome you to our New Hope Windward online community. We'd love for you to share this link and invite your friends and family to tune in to our services as well. We'd love to keep you informed and updated with all that's going on at New Hope Windward. You can go ahead and text Starbucks to 484848 and we'll email you a Starbucks e-gift card as a way of saying welcome to New Hope Windward. Before we get into today's message, I'd like to encourage you to invite someone to tune in with us today. On the screen, you'll see the many different platforms that we stream our services to. Text or forward the message link and have them join us for our services. Today, we're continuing in our message series, Divided. So wherever you're joining us from today, would you join me in welcoming Pastor Dave?
Well, I want to welcome all of you joining us at our various New Hope Windward locations, and of course, aloha to all of you at New Hope Windward Online. Well, I think we can all agree that this has been a very crazy, difficult year, right? I mean, think about it. We've been going through a global pandemic, we have unresolved racial issues, and we're in a very divisive election season. And these events have caused a lot of stress, a lot of tension. They've increased anger levels, there's more quarreling. There's even quarreling in families, and some of you could attest, like, yeah, we've been having a lot of arguments in our family. And instead of these current events uniting us, they've been dividing us. And so a few weeks ago, we started a series to address this called Divided. And we've been learning how to become united in a divided world. Now, if you missed any of the first two messages, I highly encourage you to check them out on our YouTube page. The first message was de-escalating frustrations and anger in disagreements. And we all experience that from time to time where we get angry or frustrated. How do we de-escalate that? So we talked about that in week one. And then last week, Pastor TJ had a great message on how to bring unity in disunity. And we all know that everybody experiences disunity from time to time. So I encourage you to check those out at our New Hope Windward YouTube page online. So let's dive into today's message. So we all know the election is 9 days away, and I think we can agree this has been a very contentious election season. And as I look at social media posts, as I watch the news from around the world and our country, and I just see a lot of mudslinging, a lot of scorn, a lot of anger, a lot of hatred towards political parties, towards people. I mean, just anger and hatred is on the rise. And for many people, their anger has morphed into hatred. I was talking to a mom recently. She told me I could share this. And she has adult kids. She has a Christian family. And she was sharing about how their family has very different political views. And she said during one of the most recent televised political debates, her daughter called her and said, "Mom, I can't stand that politician in the debate tonight. I hope they get crushed." And then she said this. She said, "Mom, I hate them. I hate them so much." And when I heard that, I thought, you know, for many people, the anger that they're experiencing has morphed into hatred. And it concerns me because anger is like this insidious infection, and it's so damaging towards relationships. It can break the closest of relationships. And this just raises the question, when did it become okay for followers of Jesus to hate? You know, I think in our society now, it's so normal to hate that even sometimes we as Christians can think it's okay to hate. But of course, Jesus said it's not. And I want you to see what he said in 1 John 4:20. He says, "If we say that we love God, but we hate others, we are liars. For we cannot love God, whom we have not seen, if we do not love others, whom we have seen." And so followers of Jesus, we're to be known for our love, not our hate. And I think this is a good reminder as we continue to head into the final days of this election season. And so today what I want to talk about is how can we avoid the election infection? You may not be infected at all by the election. I'm sure you probably aren't. But we're going to talk about this. How do you disagree with people that are very different than you, that you may not like? How do you disagree with them without being disagreeable? How can you pull together towards those you've been pulling apart from? How can you agree to disagree without being disagreeable? How can we be united in this divided world? So we're going to talk about that today, all right? So what does God say we need to do when we come across a person that has very different opinions than us? It might be your spouse. It might be one of your kids. It might be your in-laws. It might be a coworker. It might be a politician. What do we do when we experience a person that has very different views? What does God want us to do? How does he want us to respond towards them? Well, we find the answer in Mark 12. And let me take you into it. So one day this guy comes up to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all?" Now, many of you have heard this before, but track with me, okay? Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God.'" How? "With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." God says, listen, the greatest thing you and I can do each day is to have a relationship with him where we love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, strength, and mind, with all of we got. But he didn't end here. Then Jesus goes on to the second part of the greatest step you can take each and every day. And he says this, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor, which means everybody. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your politician you disagree with as you love yourself. What? Yeah. There is no command greater than these. Now, let's talk about this for a little bit, because I know many of you have seen this before, but let's unpack this, okay? So this command here, love your neighbor as yourself, is called the royal law of Scripture. How many times do you think this is mentioned in Scripture? It's not mentioned just once. It's not mentioned twice. It's not mentioned three times. It's not mentioned four times, five times, six times, seven times, eight times. This command is mentioned 9 times in Scripture. It's almost as if God is grabbing a megaphone and he's saying to us, he's saying, listen, I don't want you to miss this, okay? I don't want you to miss that I want you to love everybody, even those you disagree with. I don't want you to forget this. I want you to remember the top thing I want you to do is to love everybody the same way that you love yourself. He's saying, don't forget this. Don't minimize it. Don't ignore it. I want my followers to love everybody as they love themselves. Wow. So what does that mean? That means that God wants us to love all people of different colors, different genders, different races, different religions, different political views. God wants us to love, listen, Republicans. And he wants us to love Democrats, and he wants us to love libertarians, and he wants us to love those who are partisan and nonpartisan. He wants us to love people who don't care about politics. He wants us to love everyone. And Jesus himself modeled that he wants us to love those who have political strong views. Did you know that when Jesus selected his 12 disciples, one of the disciples he chose was a zealot. And this zealot hated the Roman government. And then Jesus, he called another person who was a tax collector who worked for the government. Each of these two disciples, they despised each other's political position. But you know what happened? Eventually, they became one. Why? Because of their common love for Jesus. They chose to do the greatest commandment, to love their neighbor as they love themselves. So, what do we learn from Jesus about politics and how we should respond in this season? Well, you might want to write this down and take a picture of this, is that Jesus teaches us that we need to put love ahead of politics, that we need to put Jesus ahead of politics. And so are we willing to put Jesus ahead of our political differences? Are we willing to be Christ followers first, and then Republicans and Democrats and libertarians and whatever else you might be second? Are we willing to follow Jesus over politics? Now, I want to be really clear. I don't want to be misunderstood here. I'm not saying don't be political. I'm not saying don't talk about politics. No, no, no. I think we need to lean into what's happening in our world. I'm not saying that you shouldn't run for office if you feel called by God to do that. In fact, I encourage you to do that. If God is calling you to run for office, please do. We need more men and women of God in government leadership positions. I'm also not saying we shouldn't vote. I personally believe it's important for us who are eligible to vote. And so I encourage you to do that. So again, Jesus said that we need to choose love over politics, Jesus ahead of politics. And so I'm to love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, love my neighbor as myself. And we as Christ followers, or to choose that over politics. I heard somebody say it this way. He said this. I thought it emphasized it well. He said, that's why I don't follow an elephant. I don't follow a donkey. I follow the Lamb of God who loves everyone unconditionally. So love over politics. Jesus ahead of politics. So that's easier said than done when we're dealing with people that can be very difficult, or people who have political views or opinions that are very contrary to the truth or very contrary to our own beliefs. So how do we do this? Well, let me give you a few things that I think we learn from Jesus just from this alone. First thing is that we can disagree personally and still love unconditionally. Let me ask you a question. Do you think this would help you in your marriage or your relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend? That you can disagree personally but still love each other unconditionally. Absolutely. This helps us with our kids. This helps us with the coworker that just gets under our skin. Disagree personally with them, but always choose to love them unconditionally. And so how do we do this? Well, I want to spend the rest of my time talking about this because, again, it's easier said than done. So here's the first thing I think that we find helpful, and this is what Jesus modeled for us on how we can love our neighbor as ourselves. I encourage you to take a picture of this or write this down. Accept without approving. What does that mean? God wants you and I in this season and beyond to accept everybody. People we agree with, people we disagree with. He wants us to accept everybody because that's what he does with us. But that doesn't mean he wants us to approve of everything they do. And so he wants us to accept without approving. Look at how Romans talks about this. Romans 15:7. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you so that God will be given glory. Did you know that when you accept somebody that's very different than you, that you give God glory? Because when you accept somebody that's really different than you, you're being just like God. You are acting the way that he acts towards you and me when we do things that he doesn't approve of. And so accept without approving. Now, I want to be really clear. There's a big difference between accepting and approving, okay? You can accept a person without approving of their sin. Jesus accepted the woman caught in the act of adultery, but he did not approve of her sin. And so you can love the person without approving of their lifestyle. Love is not saying, hey, I approve of everything you do. Love is saying, I accept you even in spite of what you do. I accept without approving. And you know what? Again, this is what Jesus does with us, and he does it with everybody else. And Jesus wants to be just like him. And so let me give you an example of how Jesus did it, because I think it paints a picture. And so I'm going to take you into a portion of scripture, but I'm going to tell it to you in a modern day parable, okay? So let's say after today's message, you go into a restaurant and you see Jesus around the table. I mean, Jesus there in the flesh. He's having a meal with people around the table. So right to his left is this very scantily dressed prostitute who's in her very revealing clothes. And she's just sitting next to Jesus, flirtatious with everybody, doing her thing. And then on the right of Jesus, you see this guy who struggles with alcohol. And he's already had one too many drinks at that mealtime with everybody. And he's just, you know, getting louder. It's going, hey, what's up, everybody? You know, he's had one too many. Then next to this guy who struggles with alcohol is a drug addict. And in his pocket, he pulls out this bag of crystal meth and a pipe. And, you know, and he's just sitting there because he's been smoking all week and all morning. And he's just like, hey, what's up, everybody? And he's just going. And you see this. And then you look and you see this person you heard about in the news sitting around the table. It's this person that created this heinous crime in Hawaii. And they were locked up for years and years. And then they got released. And now they're having a meal with Jesus. And you're going, wow. Now, Jesus is sitting there. He's listening to them. He's learning about their lives. You see him smiling as he's enjoying a meal with them. Here's my question. Did you ever picture Jesus doing that? Jesus was accepting without approving. And this is exactly what the religious leaders of his day accused him of, because that's what he did. Take a look at this verse. It says in Luke 15:1, all the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, this man Jesus, he welcomes sinners And he even eats with them. You see, Jesus accepted everyone, even though he didn't approve of their behaviors. Now, why in the world did he do that? Because he loves them. He made everyone. And he wants a relationship with them. That's why he accepts us, even though he doesn't approve of everything we do. It's because he's longing for a relationship with you. And he's longing for us to be like him, especially with those who are very different than us. And so it's so important for us to remember that we can accept people without approving. And, you know, when we do this, it can have huge impacts on people's lives because, you know, a lot of times people are turned off by Christians because they find that Christians can be judgmental. And I'm certainly not saying that of you. I'm just saying they find that some Christians can be very judgmental and you know, it really hurts them. It rejects them. They're not accepting, you know, they're disapproving. And I'll never forget the story of a guy who started coming to our church years ago. And he talked about how when he came to our church, he struggled with drugs and alcohol. He had an addiction. And so he starts coming to church and he develops a relationship with Jesus and he's getting to know Jesus. And then he starts serving in one of our New Hope Winter ministries. And he would come on Sunday mornings and the volunteers just embraced him, loved him. He's a great guy. And he got clean and sober for months, growing in his relationship with God. And as it would happen on one weekend on a Saturday night, he ended up just getting really drunk. And so he just felt this deep shame and regret. And God bless this guy. The next morning, he still showed up to serve in the morning. And so he comes to church and he's helping the team and serving and volunteering. And you know what he told us? He said this. He said, when I told one of my leaders in that ministry what I had done that night, you know what he did? He loved me. He didn't judge me. What was he saying? He was saying he accepted me even though he didn't approve of what I did. And when this guy told us, he just started tearing up. And what he experienced there, listen, this is so important. He experienced what Jesus does with me every time I sin and I seek his forgiveness. Jesus accepts me even though he doesn't approve of what I've done. And he does the exact same thing with you. So that's why this is so important for us, especially in this contentious season, is Jesus wants us to accept without approving. And so let me just ask you this. Who is a person in your life that you've been pulling away from because you don't agree with their behavior or their beliefs? Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's a friend that you used to be close with. Maybe it's one of your kids or your spouse or your parent or somebody you work with. Who have you been pulling away from because you disagree with them? I want to encourage you. Accept without approving. You can disagree personally, but you can love them unconditionally. Be a bridge builder like Jesus, not a bridge burner. That's a good word for all of us. Amen? All right, let's get into the next step that can help us when we're dealing with people that are very different than us. And here it is. Take a picture of this or write this down. Disagree without being disagreeable. Now, what does it mean to be disagreeable? Okay, what does this mean? This means that we disagree and we do it in a way where we're just being bad-tempered. You know, it's where we're discussing our differences and we start to be unfriendly towards that person and harsh. That's what it means to be disagreeable. So how do we disagree without being disagreeable? I was talking to a woman recently and she gave me permission to share this. She's a mom and she said she was driving recently and she saw these individuals sign waving and supporting this particular political candidate in which she disagreed with vehemently. And you know what she did? Because she does not like this political candidate. She just starts yelling, you know, in her car towards these people. And she just starts saying some things, you know, some hateful things and, you know, just very angry. And one of her kids in the back seat said, "Mom, you can't do that. That's God's creation. Then her other young child said, yeah, Mom, Mommy, you can't say those things. That's God's creation. And she said, oh, I felt so bad. I felt so bad. And I tell you that story because that's actually something that's pretty good to remember when we're really feeling frustrated towards somebody. That the person we disagree with, the person that we're frustrated with or angry with, that is God's creation. And so everyone, regardless of their beliefs or behaviors, they're worthy of respect. Why? Because number one, you may want to write this down, Jesus made everyone. That politician you may not like, Jesus made them. And not only did Jesus make them, he also died for them. I mean, that's how valuable that person is. He died for them. Take a look at this verse in Scripture, 1 Peter, that shows how valuable every person on this planet is. God paid a ransom to save you, to save me, to save everyone. And he paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. And so though we may not value somebody, God loves them so much that he said, I'm willing to die for Dave. I'm willing to die for that politician. I'm willing to die for that criminal. I'm willing to die for everyone. They matter to me. And because they matter to me, I want them to matter to you. And I don't know if that convicts you, but that convicts me. And sometimes we just got to let that sit as God works on our hearts. So we can disagree without being disagreeable. We can speak the truth in love. We can respect the person that we disagree with. Now, I'm not saying this to any of you that are watching this that I know, so please don't hear this. But I want to see if you've experienced this in your life too. Honestly, some of the rudest people I've met in my life have been overzealous Christians. Have you ever experienced that? I know a lot of people who are non-Christians, they think that Christians are some of the most judgmental people in the world. And so, you know, what some overzealous Christians do is they're so committed to telling the truth that they don't even care about people. They care about the truth, but they don't care about people. And I want you to hear the words of Jesus, because the reality is we can't care about the truth and not care about people. Because the truth, Jesus, he cares about people. Look at this verse. If a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love. I mean, this is a powerful verse. God says that if I am not loving and kind, it shows that I don't know God. Oh, I mean, that's heavy. And so Jesus is saying, hey, if we know God, if we love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength and mind, you know what? We're going to be more kind to people. We're going to be more loving to people. We're going to be more loving towards those who are different than us. I heard it said this way. This person said, I can be right about an issue, but if I'm rude about it, I'm wrong. I can be right about an issue, but if I'm rude about it, I'm wrong. If I speak the truth without grace, I'm wrong. And so let's continue to, in this season and with those we disagree with, let's accept without approving. Let's disagree without being disagreeable. Amen? I'd like to end by telling a true story of two individuals who had fiercely different opinions and views. It's a true story of Ann Atwater and C.P. Ellis. And their story was actually made into several documentaries and a Hollywood movie called The Best of Enemies. Let me tell you about this story. The story takes place in North Carolina in 1971 during a time when the Durham City schools had their black kids segregated from the white kids. And the schools faced major turmoil because the courts had ordered that the schools desegregate. They now needed to integrate the white kids with the black kids. So this individual, Bill Riddick, he was called and brought in to help solve this escalating crisis. And he feared, understandably, the violence that could potentially happen between the black and the white kids as they were going to desegregate. So what he did was he organized a series of community gatherings where the entire community would come together in hopes of them coming up with solutions to their very differing views. Now, the first thing that Riddick did was he needed two people to co-chair these community meetings. So he did something interesting. Guess what he does? He invites two individuals that had completely different opposite views. He calls Ann Atwater, who was an African-American civil rights activist, and then he calls C.P. Ellis, who was the president of the local Ku Klux Klan group. I mean, you couldn't pick two people more different than this. I mean, these two people couldn't be more opposite, and yet they were being asked to co-chair these meetings together. And these two rivals already knew each other. They had gotten into superheated arguments at city council gatherings. They both resented each other. Their relationship was filled with distrust and resentment and hatred, and honestly, neither of them wanted to co-chair together, but they both reluctantly agreed to do so. So they started co-chairing these community meetings for several days, and while they were meeting together, they just could not get along. They could not see past their differences. They were not making any progress. They kept arguing over things, and CP, he kept using racial slurs when he was talking. And this angered Anne so much that in one of the meetings, she reached down into her purse, she grabbed a knife, and she was going to slit his throat. But her pastor was sitting next to her, and he grabbed her hand, and he stopped her. And so that is how contentious their relationship was. Well, several meetings went along, and they were not making any progress. And then Atwater's kids and Ellis's kids, they got their parents, they got these two individuals together and said, listen, we want to go to school together. And it was at that moment that both Atwater and Ellis looked at each other, and they realized that they had been arguing over the wrong things. That they hadn't kept the school system's issues and priorities as their priority. They were doing things the wrong way. Why? Because of their differences. So they started instead to focus on working together and focusing on solutions instead of focusing on their differences. That's something that can really help us in marriages and relationships, where we focus on working together instead of focusing on our differences. And that's what they did. They started to work together. And on the last night of the community meeting, 1,000 people filled this room, blacks and whites. Ellis's fellow Ku Klux Klan members were there. And Ellis walks up to the microphone. He held up his Klan membership card. And here's what he said. If schools are gonna get better by me tearing up this card, then I shall do so. And he tore up his Klan card, thus renouncing the Klan that night, and he never returned to it. And what happened beyond that is Ellis and Atwater, because they had been working together, eventually became very, very good friends. For years, they did interviews together and documentaries. They talked on the phone. They had a friendship, and their friendship became so close that when CP passed away, his family asked Anne to give the eulogy. And as she gave the eulogy, she said in that funeral home, "He was my brother." What a powerful story. Two people that were so different, that were pulled together, pulled apart, started pulling together. How did it happen? They did what we talked about today. They learned to put their love over their politics. They learned to disagree personally, yet love one another unconditionally. They learned that in the process. They learned to accept without approving and disagree without being disagreeable. They stuck with it, and look what happened. And you know what? This is what can happen to us when we invite Jesus Christ into our life and we love him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and we choose to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. I'd like to lead us in the time of prayer. And so wherever you're at, if you're in your living room or you're somewhere else, I want to encourage you, if you could, just bow your heads and I'll lead us in a time of prayer. As your heads are bowed, I want you to just think about this. I want you to think about what would happen if between now and November 3rd, we all chose to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. What if we chose to put love over politics? What if we chose to disagree personally, but love unconditionally? What if we chose to accept that person that was so different than us? You know, if that happened, there'd be no more violence, no more murder, no more school bullying, no racism, no hungry people in our land. Marriages would be restored, families would be unified, friendships would be united. It would be powerful, be a game changer. You know, on November 3rd, everyone, your candidate is either going to win or lose. However, our church wins or loses based on how we treat each other between now and then. And no matter who is elected into the office on November 3rd, Jesus will still be king on November 4th. Father, I want to just thank you that you accept us even though you don't approve of everything we've done. I thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally. And I pray that you'd help us to do what we're talking about today. Without your power, without your help, without your leadership, without your friendship, we can't do what we're talking about. So, Lord, forgive us for the ways in which we have not loved our neighbor as we've loved ourselves. And help us to do our part so that we can avoid the election infection and any of the divisiveness that can break up any of our relationships with those we love and those that we don't particularly like. So Jesus, we're asking you to help us to do what you've challenged us to do today with everyone, to love them as we love ourselves. If you've not invited Jesus into your life, you could pray this prayer. You could just say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse my heart of all resentment and anger. Be my Lord and Savior, my life leader. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, congratulations to all of you who said that prayer for the first time, or maybe you renewed your commitment to Jesus. Well done. In fact, if you prayed that prayer, we'd love to send you a resource to help you. You can text next steps to 484848, and we'll send you some resources to help you with that. But before you go away, we have one more song that you can sing to connect with God to help you enjoy his power and his presence. So let's sing this song. It's your
is so good. Can we say amen to that? Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you all have a great week. God bless.